story of Jacob's goes back so far, and not only were you an employee there, but you also took a great interest in the history and in the people that worked there. So why how did that come about?
Well, it started off many years ago. I think it was only there 5 or 6 years, and a man was retiring, and we were clearing out his presses, and there was a huge collection of labels and documents and that. So I kept those in a safe place for many years. It's probably the largest collection of Jacob's labels that's extant at the moment. I've always been interested in local history as well, and just the two together. And when Seamus O'Matthew came along to do the 150th centenary book, I was asked to help him, and through that I started to gather together all the documents that I could again to make up a collection.
Take me back to the beginning. Douglas Appleyard, that's a very unusual surname. Where did that come from?
Well, it's been in Ireland for quite a number of years, but my branch of the family came from Yorkshire through Derby to Dublin way back in the 19th century.
Are you out and out Dubliner?
Oh, yes, and my father.
Where did you grow up in Dublin then?
Well, I was born in Clontarf and grew up in Clontarf. I was very involved in youth activities and so on. I'm not a sporting type. And I went to Jacob's, was my second job. And
where did you work first?
In Unitair in Finglas. I was there for a year. But an opportunity came up to go to Jacob's. And
how did there. Tell me how it came about.
I think it was an advertisement in the paper, and I applied, and we were interviewed as management trainees. And the idea was we would move around every 6 months. That didn't happen, but
yeah,
I went through. But I got through a few departments, like delivery, and then into purchasing, and from that, and then I went into management accounting, and also into credit control. Then I finally went into computers, and I was in the computer department for over 20 odd years.
And in total, how many years did you spend with Jacob's?
41.
My.
41 years.
In the early days when you were there, that would have been probably the late 60s, early 70s?
No, 62 I joined.
Yes. Take me through the 60s then. What was Jacob's like in Bishop Street in the 1960s?
Well, it was Bishop Street. It was a warren of offices at different levels. I worked in the delivery office. All orders came in on handwritten orders or via the phone. There were four girls answering the phone with the orders. And then these were made up into loads and packed into skips. And skips were wooden containers that were used to put onto the trains, because in those days, Jacob's didn't deliver in the country, only to the city, but instead they would put the goods into skips and they would be delivered down to local centres and then distributed by a local distributor.
Who were the local distributors?
Oh, I have no idea. They were probably the people who owned a horse and cart in the area, you know, and delivered for CIE. I was never privy to any of those arrangements, because in those days Jacob's had about 4,000 customers all around Ireland, but in later years it's down to a much smaller number, because obviously the supermarkets have taken over.
But the controlling and I suppose watching the packaging and crating and putting them all together and going all over the countryside, was it? I mean, it must have been very exciting.
It was a job at the time, and but looking back on it, I get great satisfaction of seeing how things were done. Like, for instance, square tins, which were the loose biscuits, they were sold by weight, so it might be £10 and 10 1/4 pounds, and the price might have been 1 3 pence halfpenny a pound. So all the invoices were calculated in the 40s, up to the 40s, by cantometers, girls working on cantometers, which were the forerunner of calculators. Then we went into Power Samus, which was a mechanical system that used punch cards. And then we went to computers with ICT at the time. And we had a good range of computers over the years.
Who was working with you?
Oh, people I can remember. My first manager in the delivery area was Harold Burgess, and the assistant manager was Johnny Higgins. And the other male in the department was George Petlow. So we had many happy hours going out, because at lunchtime we had an hour and a half, and we used to go out to the Stephen's Green during the summer to have a look around.
Yes, because of the Bishop Street is in close proximity to the Green.
That's right, yes. And Bishop Street, of course, we had the Adelaide on one side of us, and it was quite interesting. Jacobs, when they, in 1851, 52, had been down in Waterford, and the two brothers, William and Robert, actually went over to England to see about opening a factory over there, because that's where all the fancy biscuits were coming, this new idea. And prior to that, they had only made the dry sea biscuits for boats, for ships and so on. So they couldn't see a place in England, and on the way back they saw a coach building warehouse, and they decided to take it on. And then slowly they bought up the whole block over the years, till before they moved to Talla, Jacobs actually owned not only that whole block, but also three or four other premises in the locality.
The employees, I mean, it was up to 3,500 people employed there, I think, at one stage.
It went up to about 3,000, I think, yeah. And it was only in the 60s, 70s that it began to come down. Well, when I joined, I think there were about 2,100 or so in the company. Mainly girls at that time, a high percentage of girls, because even when I joined, a lot of the biscuits were still finished by hand. You know, they were coming to the end of piping the cream onto biscuits. You know, when I went first, raspberry and custard was still piped by hand. You know, a girl would pipe on the raspberry and then the custard around it, and then put the lid on it.
Were the biscuits loose in those days?
Well,
without the packaging?
Well, the main part were, until supermarkets started and self-service arrived in the 60s. But prior to that, way back to the 1900s, Jacobs had packets of biscuits. It was never a big percentage, but you can see in the archive loads of the labels, and they tried ones that were airtight. It didn't always work, and it was only with the more modern fibre seal and things like that that the products became really airtight.